In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem and Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem and Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the other was Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went back on their way to go to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back from her country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Brian's coming. Brian's been here many times. And Brian and I go way back into the 50s, 50 years. But anyway, he and Margaret are here from Kitchener. Thanks, Brian.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you once again and to share with you from the Word of God and to enjoy worshiping together with you. This little story, a beautiful story, is tucked away in the early portions of the Old Testament, and it's a beautiful story of love, but a story that took place during one of the darkest periods of Israel's history. The writer puts it in context immediately. He says, in the days when the judges ruled, and there couldn't have been a more spiritually depraved time than the period of the judges, where people cared nothing for God, pursued only their own instincts, a time of gross depravity, a time of spiritual darkness. And yet in the midst of this context, we have this beautiful story between a daughter-in-law and her mother-in-law, and their amazing love and care for each other. This time of spiritual darkness suggested that even in the times when people forget God, there are those who express God's love, His faithfulness, His kindness, His mercy, and display it and express it to one another. And this reminds us that even in the darkest times, some people will reject sin. Some people will seek righteousness. And this we see in the lives of Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, for they are the main characters in the story. And yet, as we listen to them talk with each other, as we watch their interaction, they point to the main character, and that's the character of our amazing, gracious God. We've seen the first part of the story in Ruth chapter 1, and of course, those of us who are familiar with the story, we know that Ruth and Naomi return to Bethlehem. Ruth to take care of her mother-in-law, to see that she is sustained through this very difficult time where they are most vulnerable, where they are desperate, grieving widows. She decides to go to the fields to glean so she can take care of her mother-in-law. Ruth happens to glean in the fields of a kinsman redeemer, Boaz. And as the story moves towards the end, Naomi decides she needs to take care of Naomi and presents a plan so that Naomi would meet Boaz, so that Ruth would be able to marry him and be taken care of and come under his care as his wife. As we look at this book, we look at the two characters. We look at the character of Ruth. Ruth shows us that God welcomes the outsider. In fact, God takes outsiders, and by His grace, He makes them insiders. We first meet Ruth as she utters those amazing words of commitment to Naomi. She urges Ruth to return to Moab, to return to the gods and the culture and the people with whom she was familiar, to go back to her comfort zone. Naomi is willing to go on alone, to return to Bethlehem, destitute, vulnerable, grieving, and alone. Orpah returns. She accepts the situation and returns to Moab. But Ruth clings, it says in the scripture. She clung to Naomi. And then we have these amazing words that were just read a few moments ago, where Ruth says to Naomi, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people." People who may not accept you, me. People that I may find strange. Your people will be my people. And your God, my God. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. Now, these are amazing words of commitment, often used in wedding ceremonies. But they are more than just words whereby Ruth commits herself to caring for Naomi, to walking with her through this dark period of widowhood. She is turning her back on her pagan home, committing herself to the God of Israel. We're not sure why Ruth put these words in her words of commitment. It may be that as she got to know Naomi and as she watched Naomi first as a grieving mother-in-law and then as she grieved herself, as she saw Naomi lose her two sons and her own husband, we're not sure what Ruth saw in Naomi. But what we know is that she was attracted to the God of Israel. Something stirred within her to tell her that the God of Israel was the true God, that the God of Israel was worth committing herself to. And so she gives these amazing words of commitment. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Ruth came to trust in God. And yet as she was living in Bethlehem and took the role of a gleaner, a role that was left for those who were poor, a role that was left to those who could not sustain themselves and they had to take what was left over by the population. Ruth meets Boaz. And it's interesting the words that Boaz says to her. Boaz says, I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. And then he says these words of blessing to her. He says, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. I want you to pay attention to those words because Boaz is recognizing that Ruth has made a commitment to Yahweh, to the God of Israel. And he wants to not only affirm her in her commitment, he not only wants to affirm her in the fact that she left behind the comfort zones of Moab, the comfort zone of Moab's gods, but he wants to affirm that the God of Israel, to whom she has committed herself, will take care of her, will bless her. That this God will take her as an outsider to the people of God, and he will make her an insider. And he tells her that. And Ruth, as the person, as a personality, as one of the main characters in this book, reminds us that God accepts outsiders. Outsiders to grace, outsiders to him, outsiders to his people. And by his grace and through faith in Jesus Christ, he makes outsiders insiders. This morning, in a few moments, we will celebrate the Lord's table, where we remember Jesus' death on the cross, his broken body, the blood that was shed for us. And there we will be reminded afresh that God has taken us foreigners to grace, aliens to grace, outsiders that we all are, and he has made us insiders to grace. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Because of Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, we are accepted into God's arms. He takes us as outsiders, and he makes us his children. He makes us insiders. That's the message of Ruth. That's her story. The story of a God who took you. And on the day and the moment that you confessed faith in Jesus Christ, you became an insider to grace. You became an insider with his people. Amazing love. But let's turn our attention a few moments to Naomi. Because Naomi shows us that God loves to restore and renew his children, his disobedient children, but especially his children who are living in desperate situation, who are living afar from him. Now, I want to be careful as I move into this topic because I am not blaming Naomi for the condition that she was in. In many ways, as we read her story, and she blames Yahweh, she blames God for her situation of bitterness, of sorrow, of desperation. That could be nothing more than a statement of faith, of her saying that whatever has happened to me has first passed by the throne of God. And that's a reality, folks. That's a comfort. When we go through the waters of affliction, when we go through desperate times, when the darkness of unfair assignments of life cloud in upon us, it is comforting to know that what is happening to me has first passed by my Savior's throne, that I am secure in His hands, that even in the darkest of times, in the most difficult times of sorrow and losing a loved one, we can say, it is well with my soul. We can say that. We may have to say it by faith. We may have to say it looking through the lens of Scripture. But we can say, it is well with my soul. However, Naomi was living away from the people of God. She was living with the people of Moab. Now, there was no law against Israelites having relationships with Moabites. But they were enemies of God. They were enemies of the people of God. They were pagans. They worshipped foreign gods. And while Elimelech and Naomi would have had good reason to move there, they wanted a better life for their children. They wanted their children to have a better situation than the famine-stricken town of Bethlehem. And yet they were exposing themselves and their family to sinful culture of the Moabites, who were enemies of God's people. We don't know if Naomi encouraged her husband to move, saying, yes, we got to find a better spot. We know we might do that. We don't know if she tried to stand in his way and say, Elimelech, do you know what you're doing? Do you know what on earth you're doing when you take us as a family to Moab? We know some women would do that. They would challenge their husband. We don't know that Naomi did. We might. But Naomi was caught in this context, and as you read the story, she lets her daughters-in-law know that it is God's hand that has gone out against her. She is very clear that this desperate situation she has, where she has been left a widow and her two sons have died, she knows this has come from the hand of God. That the land of Moab, which at one point in her life was a place of hope, had now become a place of misery and desperation. She knew that these difficult times were orchestrated by a sovereign God, who is sovereign in every aspect of her life. She was suffering. She was living the desperate life of a widow, condemned to a life of poverty, vulnerable to the worst things society could give her. And she knew in her heart, as she expresses over and over again, that this calamity had come from God. And as I said, whether this is an acceptance of the fact that she had deliberately sinned, I'm hesitant to say that, or whether it was a statement of faith of knowing that she was safe in his hands, we don't know. The scriptures don't tell us. All that we know is that Naomi knew that her desperate circumstances, these unfair assignments of becoming a widow and becoming childless, had come from the hand of God. She decided to return to live with the people of God. And as she made the decision to return, and as we saw the story as we read Ruth chapter 1, there came that moment when she realized that while she was going back home, this was not home for her daughters-in-law, that they were actually going to a new culture, a culture that may not accept them, a culture who may spurn them. And so very selflessly she turns to Orpah and Ruth and says, "Look, women, my daughters-in-law, you have cared for me and I'm grateful for it, but go back to your home. Go back to Moab. Go back to your hometown. Go back to your parents. Go back to your family. May the Lord give you husbands and may you find rest in their care." Orpah, of course, accepts Naomi's arguments and returns to Moab. But Ruth has been attracted to Naomi's God. And Ruth clings to her. And as Naomi is deciding, is returning, is going back, is making steps back toward the people of God, Ruth follows her. And at this very clear moment in the story where Naomi is returning to the place of blessing, she's returning to Bethlehem, God begins to restore her in the very action of Ruth saying, "No, you're not going back to Bethlehem alone. I am going to go with you. I am going to take care of you. Your people who may not accept me, your people who may reject me, your people who may see me as tainted, coming from a strange pagan culture, your people will become my people. And your God, the God that you have talked about, the God that you see is bringing upon you affliction, the God who has turned his hand against you, the God that you trust, your God will be my God." God, at that moment, begins to restore Naomi. And as we read the story, and we watch the story as it goes from chapter 1 to chapter 2 to chapter 3 and chapter 4, her life has changed. She returns to Bethlehem empty. But as she makes those steps of faith to return to the people of God, at the end of the story, she is full. And once she decided to return, God, her Heavenly Father, restores her and blesses her. And in Naomi, we see a picture of God who loves to restore his rebellious people. In Naomi, we see God who is the waiting Father. No matter where we may stray, no matter what bad choices we may make, no matter what sin we will allow into our lives, when we turn to return to God, he's waiting there to embrace us, to restore us, to renew us. Excuse me. And that's the story of Naomi. So the two characters of this beautiful story, this wonderful love story, as we follow the plot, both Ruth and Naomi, even though they are major characters in the story, they are not the main character. God is the main character. We see him portrayed here as a gracious, merciful, forgiving God. Ruth shows us in living color that he is a God who accepts the outsider and makes him an insider. Naomi shows us in this vivid narrative that he is a God who loves to restore, renew his erring children. You may be here this morning, and your situation may be extremely dark. You may feel hopeless because of the circumstances, the unfair assignments that are part of your life today. But the book of Ruth tells us that God is sovereign. And even when we, perhaps like Naomi, can see no hope, can see no reasonable reason why God has afflicted us, the book of Ruth teaches us that in the midst of the darkest times of life, God is sovereignly and mercifully and graciously at work to bring about His purposes. You may be here this morning, and you may feel that you're an outsider, even though you really may be an insider. You may feel, as you examine the dynamics of your relationship with God, that for somehow you could never be an insider, even though you are. And it's my prayer this morning that the Spirit of God will come upon you as you look at the book of Ruth, and you will gain the assurance from the Spirit's work in your life that indeed you are an insider, that God has taken you as an outsider, and through faith in Jesus Christ has made you an insider to grace, an insider to His people. He's made you His precious child. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to You this morning and thank You for the power of Your word. Your word that encourages us, Your word that points us to Your grace, forgiveness, and sovereignty, Your word that reminds us that it is well with our soul because we are kept in Your hands. And we thank You for this story of Ruth. And I ask that You would burn into our hearts the reality that in Your grace You make outsiders insiders. And by Your grace, You delight to renew and restore Your disobedient children. Speak to us. Encourage us. We desperately need Your touch. I ask this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.